RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news. News from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We will continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Listener's Mailbag. That's our program for today, listener. And now let's stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first day headlines. Indonesia gained trust from the international community. Indonesian Communication and Informatics Ministry has no special agenda in the Asian African Conference. Now the news in detail. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi in the opening of exhibition of Indonesia's South-South and Triangular Cooperation on the 19th of April 2015 said that Indonesia has gained the high level of trust from the international community in the field of South-South cooperation. The minister also said until March 2015, Indonesia has conducted around 400 training programs with 4,400 participants from 99 countries of Asia, Pacific, Africa, and Latin America. Retno added, Indonesia also works with 32 developed partners in the scheme of triangular cooperation.
Indonesia is very committed to develop South-South and triangular cooperation. Therefore, in 2010, Indonesia established a national coordination team of South-South and triangular cooperation.
Retno LP Marsudi hoped that South-South and triangular cooperation will not only strengthen the development gap among countries, but most importantly, the cooperation will contribute to the world peace and prosperity. Minister Retno moreover said that Indonesia is ready to grow together with other countries in Asian and African regions. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi will hold a bilateral meeting with the Minister of Foreign Affairs from some friendly countries in the sidelines of the senior official meeting of the 60th Asian African Conference commemoration. Spokesman of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, while providing information to RRI in Jakarta Convention Center on Sunday, explained there are some countries that are planned to have a bilateral meeting with the Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs, among others from Solomon Island, Vanuatu, Papua New Guinea, Fiji, and South Africa. While specific bilateral meeting would be implemented with Minister of Foreign Affairs of South Africa, since the country will be co-chair with Indonesia in the ministerial meeting on Monday, April 20th, 2015. Today we'll try to arrange a meeting with Solomon Island, Vanuatu, PNG. We also try to meet with Fiji. Surely we also try to meet with South Africa. Remembering South Africa will be co-chair with our Foreign Affairs Minister in the ministerial meeting tomorrow. According to Armanata Nasir, the Indonesian government understands to the absence of South African president in the World Summit of 60th anniversary of the Asian African Conference due to the security problems in the country. Furthermore, Armanata Nasir explained, besides with Melanesian spearhead group, Minister of Foreign Affairs also planned to have a bilateral meeting with Foreign Minister of Somalia, but the time is still regulated. While the bilateral meeting with the government of People's Republic of China will not be done at foreign ministers' level, but at the level of heads of state, government, on Wednesday, April 22, 2015. Each ministry participating in the organizing of the 60th anniversary of the Asian African Conference in Jakarta and Bandung, West Java. Since the 60th anniversary of the AAC 2015 is not only filled by ceremonial, but also completed by Asia-Africa Business Forum and special meetings of the ministerial level and the Asian African leaders. In his statement to the RRI in the media room, Jakarta Hilton Convention Center on Sunday, Minister of Communication and Informatics Rudiantara said there has no specific agenda prepared by the Communication and Informatics Ministry in the activities of the 60th anniversary of the AAC.
Agendanya sebetulnya terpusat, ya, yang dikoordinir oleh.
The agenda is coordinated by the Indonesian Foreign Ministry, so this activity is not separated one and another. Indonesia in this agenda is supported by a number of ministries. The event is led by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and other ministries provide the supporting facilities, like Kominfo gives its support to provide media. Meanwhile, to support the implementation of the anniversary of the 60th Asian African Conference in Bandung on April 24th, Minister of Communication and Informatics Rudiantara said his ministry has prepared some access to the media by creating media center in the vicinity of the top event in the Merdeka Building. Last week, in a media briefing prior to the implementation of the event in the Ministry of Communication and Informatics Office, the ministry has set up 4 places of media centers to serve more than 1,000 journalists who will cover the event from domestic and abroad. The last item. Trade Ministry has made a technical guidance on the regulation of the Ministry of Trade number 6M/1/2015 on the ban to sell alcoholic drinks in mini market or retailers. The regulation takes effect on April 16, 2015. In the guidance, it is stated that regions that have tourist destinations are allowed to sell alcoholic drinks at mini market or retailers. Director General of Domestic Trade Sri Agustina said that the technical guidance is made so that the ministry can monitor the selling of alcoholic drinks in mini markets and retailers on the whole. That was the news.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Jambi. Jambi Natural Resources Conservation Agency, or BKSDA, in cooperation with Jambi Regional Police, successfully arrested 2 people who sold 1 tiger on the bridge bordering Muara Jambi and Jambi on Wednesday night, April 15. According to the head of operation team from the agency of Jambi, Krismanko Padang, the 2 men violated Law on Conservation Natural Resources and Ecosystem No. 5, year 1990, with 5-year imprisonment and fine up to 100 million rupiah. Head of Forum Harimau Kita, or Our Tiger Forum, Yohan Dinata, regretted the trafficking of tiger when the Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry is increasing forest and natural conservation effort to increase the population of tigers in Indonesia. The second news comes from Bulungan Regency, North Kalimantan Province. Bulungan Regency Administration, North Kalimantan, will certify local aki or gemstone as an effort to protect from claim. Bulungan Region Budiman Arifin stated the current gemstone fever all over the country makes local products in the area need to be certified to protect the local products. According to him, the most popular gemstone in the area is green moss from Salimbau, Tanjung Palas Tengah district. He added, gemstone certification process can be done in East Kalimantan province and Jakarta with the cost of 1 million rupiah per half kilogram. After certification, the selling point may increase. The last news comes from Rejang Lebong, Bengkulu, where marijuana field was found by District Military Command of the Indonesian Military or TNI Kodim 0409 Rejang Lebong and the National Narcotics Agency or BNN of Bengkulu Province on April 9 to the 10, 2015. The joint team found 5,000 sticks of marijuana with the height of 10 cm to 2 meter planted in a coffee plantation in the hamlet of Baru Talang Seberang Suban, Kampung Jeruk Village, Binduriang District. BNN then removed 5,000 sticks of the marijuana on Wednesday, April 15. According to BNN Deputy of Eradication, Dedi Fauzi El Hakim, the finding of marijuana in Rejang Lebong Regency is the biggest one throughout 2015. He reminded all people to increase alertness on the possible donors from out of the area to fund marijuana planting. The finding of marijuana field makes Rejang Lebong Regency the third biggest supplier after Aceh and Jambi. Listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past as recorded in history. We start from April 19, 1930, Indonesian Soccer Association, PSSI, is established. Indonesian Football Association, PSSI, is the umbrella organization to managing the activities of football in Indonesia. PSSI was established on April 19, 1930, with the initial name Persatuan Sepak Raga Seluruh Indonesia. Indonesian Football Association, PSSI, was established by a civil engineer named Suratin Sosro Sugondo. He completed his education at the School of Engineering College in Hecklenburg, Germany, in 1927 and returned to his homeland, Indonesia, in 1928. PSSI joined the International Football Federation FIFA in 1952, then with the Asian Football Confederation AFC in 1954. PSSI held Liga Indonesia competition annually, and since 2005, it was also held Indonesian Cup. On April 19, 1971, Salyut 1, the first spacecraft, is launched. Salyut 1 was the first man-made spacecraft, which was launched by the Soviet Union on April 19, 1971. The first crew who were launched in Soyuz 10 spacecraft failed to land in Salyut 1 due to the port mechanism interference. The second crew were launched in Soyuz 11 and included in Salyut 1 craft for 23 days. Salyut 1 entering Earth atmosphere on October 11, 1971. And we conclude today's segment of Today in History by inviting you to a bomb explosion in Oklahoma, the United States, on April 19, 1995. The Oklahoma City bombing was a domestic terrorist bomb attack on the Alfred Murrah Federal Building in downtown Oklahoma City on April 19, 1995. Carried out by Timothy McPhage and Terry Nichols, the bombing killed 168 people and injured more than 680 others. Extensive rescue efforts were undertaken by local, state, federal, and worldwide agencies in the wake of the bombing, and substantial donations were received from across the country. The Federal Emergency Management Agency activated 11 of its urban search and rescue task forces, consisting of 665 rescue workers who assisted in rescue and recovery operations. Within 90 minutes of the explosion, McFage was stopped by Oklahoma State Trooper Charlie Hanger for driving without a license plate and arrested for illegal weapons possession. McVeigh, an American militia movement sympathizer who was a Gulf War veteran, had detonated a Ryder rental truck full of explosives parked in front of the building. Motivated by his hatred of the federal government and angered by its handling of the 1993 Waco siege and the Ruby Ridge incident in 1992, McVeigh time his attack to coincide with the second anniversary of the deadly fire that ended the siege of Waco, Texas. The bombers were tried and convicted in 1997. McFeach was executed by lethal injection on June 11, 2001, and Nichols was sentenced to life in prison. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, entitled Guaranteed Asia-Africa Conference Security Despite the Burnt F-16 Aircraft. I'm Rahmawati. Listener, F-16 aircraft, which was failed to take off, was burnt at Halim Perdana Kusuma Airport in Jakarta, Thursday, April 16. Mayor Dodo Agus Prio, head of troops and general information of Halim Perdana Kusuma, the incident happened at 8:30 West Indonesia time. According to plan, F-16 aircraft with the tail number TS-1643 would carry out fly-pass mission from Halim Perdana Kusuma to the Indonesian Military or TNI headquarters and back to Halim Perdana Kusuma in the parade ceremony of President Joko Widodo on that day. The president was appointed as an honored citizen of the TNI Special Troops by the TNI Commander General Muldoko. The appointment was marked symbolically by the installation of the TNI Headquarters beret and jacket at the TNI Headquarters in Cilangkap. Air Force Chief Marshal Agus Supriyatna said the burned F-16 aircraft was granted by the U.S. made in 1980. Marshal Agus Supriyatna explained that the aircraft will actually be used to secure Asia-Africa Conference in Jakarta and Bandung, West Java. Following the incident, the Indonesian Air Force, or TNIAU, plans to change the old aircraft with Sukhoi Su-35 or F-16 Fighting Falcon Type 70, or the latest type of F-16. Regarding the incident on Thursday morning in Halim Perdana Kusuma, member of Commission 1 in the House of Representatives or DPR, TB Hasanuddin, regretted that the government still bought or received the aircraft which has been grounded in the producing country. TB Hasanuddin added, actually, Commission 1 has firmly refused grant of F-16 aircraft in a meeting with Defense Ministry and Air Force Chief. The refusal is caused by a fact that the aircraft is not proper for use and it will harm the government. It would be better to buy a new aircraft with a little high cost rather than receiving grant with additional cost for machine upgrading. Meanwhile, Program Director at Research Institute for Democracy and Peace, Anton Ali Abbas, stated Sukhoi needs to be checked because it hasn't been tested. Sukhoi is indeed technically great, but it needs more fuel. Concerning the incident of the burned aircraft, which was supposed to be used to secure Asia-Africa conference, Ferdi Pi, head of Inter-Asia-Pacific and Africa Cooperation Subdirectorate at the Foreign Affairs Ministry, said the incident would not change Asia-Africa conference. According to Ferdi Pi, the ministry is sure that security from the military and police will give optimal comfort and security to the attending delegates. And listener, that ends highlight of the week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Hello listener, welcome to Week in Review, informing you about things that happened in the last 6 days. We start from Sunday, April 12, 2015, Pertamina President Director Dwi Sucipto said that the Banyu Urip field at Cepu Block will be a new hope to secure the national energy supplies. He said this is a historical moment. The lifting from Banyu Urip will cover 25-30% of the national oil supplies. Dwi explained that the oil production at Banyu Urip field has gradually increased to 80,000 barrels per day. Dwi added that the field is expected to increase the productivity by 165,000 barrels per day by the end of this year, which would establish it as the oil field with the highest productivity in Indonesia. Dwi added the production will account for 25-35% of the national oil production. Still on Sunday, Indonesian young men's doubles pair Angga Pratama and Ricky Karandaswardi took home the men's doubles honor from the Singapore Open Super Series tournament, which was colored with a walkover from Chinese players. Underdogs Angga and Ricky defeated Chinese Fu Haifeng and Zhang Nan 21-15, 11-21, 21-14 to bring home the sole title for Indonesia. Ricky said in a statement they are really grateful. Angga hoped to win more tournaments in the future. Until now, the pair's highest achievement had been runner-up at the 2014 Macau Open Grand Prix Gold in December, as well as at the 2015 Thailand International Challenge in January. Both are deemed less prestigious tournaments compared to the Singapore Open Super Series. On Monday, HUMA, the Association for Community and Ecological-Based Legal Reform, encourages 15 customary territories in 10 provinces in Indonesia to be set as customary forests. This was revealed in a discussion themed Creating Acceleration for Customary Areas Recognition and People's Management Area Expansion on Monday in Jakarta. The 15 customary territories are located in Aceh, Sumatra, West Sumatra, Jambi, Bengkulu, West Kalimantan, Banten, South East Sulawesi, and South Sulawesi. The customary law region and people's management region are minutes of the 1945 Constitution that have been set out in the Constitutional Court Decision No. 35 of 2012 related to customary forests. HUMA Program Coordinator Nurul Firman said, determination of customary areas is still hampered by a number of legal issues, one of which is recognition or legal standing of indigenous people in the form of local regulation. So, HUMA Association encourages the issuance of the regional regulation that become a social and economic legal actor to manage their customary forest and territories.
HUMA dan kawan-kawan di CSO sudah mendorong.
About customary territories, for example, HUMA and colleagues in CSO encouraged 15 locations to become samples. They have assisted them for quite a long time, but then they are hampered by political and legal walls. Of the 15 locations, customary society exists and has met legal elements. And even some have been determined, such as Tau Tawana Society in North Sulawesi. However, it does not automatically get the customary territory. It has to be synchronized with the central government. Nurul added, to align with the local rules of the central government, now he is pushing the Ministry of Agrarian and Spatial Planning to soon issue agricultural ministerial regulation regarding communal rights or a customary region. Once the regulation is issued, the central government will establish their traditional territory. Huma Association recorded that there are 19 provinces and 43 regencies that have been initiated to establish customary legal society in 104 communities. Legal recognition for indigenous territories or people's management territory in practice provides an opportunity to exercise the rights of indigenous people stipulated in the legal recognition. On Tuesday, Mayor of Surabaya Tri Risma Hari Ini met with Vice President M. Yusuf Kalla in Jakarta, discussing a wide range of issues, including the construction of the Turi Market in Surabaya City. Risma Hari Ini said at the Vice Presidential Office, the Vice President has greatly helped her to find solutions to the issue of the Turi Market. She added that one of the solutions Kalla offered was increasing certification fees on traders. In response to the issue, the Vice President immediately contacted the Agrarian Minister. According to Risma Hari Ini, the Vice President also ordered for the extension and revision of a contract with PT Gala Bumi Perkasa. On Wednesday, Norwegian Prime Minister Erna Solberg called for more effort in saving rainforest during a visit to the Nordic indigenous Suku Anak Dalam community in Jambi. On that day, Solberg, who is co-chair of the UN Millennium Development Goals Advocacy Group, visited the indigenous community, also known as Orang Rimba, in Sekampul Village, Batin Ulu 3 District, Bunga Regency, Jambi. She was accompanied by Environment and Forestry Minister Siti Nurbaya. During the one-hour visit, Solberg held a dialogue with members of the Orang Rimba community. Solberg said that it was very important to save the rainforest. She heard that people of the Orang Rimba community had no land to develop and their lives become harder and harder every day. Indonesian Conservation Community Executive Director Diki Kurniawan said in the long term, his group would push for a regulation and a concrete guarantee from as many stakeholders as possible for the Orang Rimba community in line with the government's commitment to protect traditional communities. Still on Wednesday, Asian African Business Summit will be one of a series agenda of 60th year Asian African Conference commemoration in Jakarta on the 21st to 22nd of April 2015. This was stated by the Director of Technical Cooperation of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Siti Nugraha Maulidia, at Diplomatic Forum talk show held by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday. She said that on the business summit, all chief executive officers or CEOs from Asia-Africa will have business matching to get real cooperation in the economic field between the two regions.
On the sideline of the Asia-African conference meeting here in Jakarta, there's going to be Asia-African Business Summit. Because when we talk about economic development, it's not the government only that needs to work on this issue, but also the business sector. So this one of the things that we are hoping could achieve something from the meeting.
Earlier, on different occasion, Director of International Trade Cooperation at Ministry of Trade, Bahrul Dhairi, said there are four important agenda which become the focus of Asian African Business Summit, namely infrastructure, trade, agribusiness, and maritime as well as marine. This meeting is scheduled to be opened by President of the Republic of Indonesia, Joko Widodo. Indonesian Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel will explain the strategy and plan of Indonesian non-oil export target of 300%. A number of heads of state and ministers are also scheduled to be the speakers in this event. By presenting 200 CEOs from 47 Asian and African countries and 200 CEOs from Indonesia, Asian-African Business Summit provides an opportunity for business leaders to develop networking and exploring cooperation and partnership. On Thursday, the government hopes to boost cooperation in trade and investment, especially in the energy and maritime sectors, with Madagascar, an African nation with historical ties with Indonesia, spanning over a millennium, and officials have said. Lasro Simbolon, the Director for African Affairs at the Foreign Ministry, said in Jakarta Thursday that the two countries were exploring opportunities to cooperate in the sector of energy and maritime, which were among the priorities of President Joko Widodo's administration. Indonesia-Madagascar bilateral trade, however, is small and has been decreasing. Among Indonesia's top commodities exported to Madagascar are crude palm oil, food, consumer goods, and household tools. Lasro also mentioned in his statement that Madagascar should think about opening an embassy in Jakarta. Still on Thursday, two Polish shipbuilding companies, Mars and Rimontowa, are interested in making investments in Indonesia's sea toll project. Both companies plan to invest in procuring ships that are capable of operating in small port. On the day, Jaroslav Staluska, commercial area manager of Mars, said in Jakarta that Poland even create a vessel that can run through large rivers. The two companies had previously made a vessel for the Indonesian Marine Police. The cooperation has been going on since 1960. Mars and Rimontowa have an annual production capacity of 12 large vessels measuring more than 100 times 50 times 40 meter, while simultaneously building dozens of narrow-body vessels. On Friday, Friends of the Earth Indonesia, WALHI, stated that the province of East Java is under the threat of ecological disaster, while he asserted that the province is surrounded by large mining areas that could damage the environment. Only Mahardika, director of the East Java WALHI on Friday, April 12, 2015, said that the northern part of East Java is blocked by oil and gas block, the southern part blocked by iron mining areas, while the province's mountain belt will soon be blocked by geothermal. It is very concerning. Extensive mining activities are also predicted to be the main cause of 2,000 hectares land conversion every year. In addition, the government must also promote local values that focus on environmental protection. And on the same day Friday, Energy and Mineral Resources Minister Sudirman Said said that the state oil and gas firm PT Pertamina would launch a new kind of gasoline called Pertalite. Even though the government has only received informal notification, Sudirman said he had approved of the launch of Pertalite as it could gradually cease the distribution of RON 88 fuel, locally known as premium. Pertalite is also expected to eliminate the negative stigma of premium, especially regarding the procurement of clean energy and allegations that premium procurement had been non-transparent. Listener, that was the Weekend Review.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Welcome to News in Brief. Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi in the upcoming of exhibition of Indonesia's South-South and Triangular Cooperation on the 19th of April 2015 said that Indonesia has gained the high level of trust from the international community in the field of South-South cooperation. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi will hold a bilateral meeting with the Minister of Foreign Affairs from some friendly countries on the sidelines of the senior official meeting of the 60th Asian-African Conference commemoration. Each ministry participating in the organization of the 60th anniversary of the Asian-African Conference in Jakarta and Bandung, West Java. Since the 60th anniversary of the AAC 2015 is not only filled by ceremonial but also completed by Asia-Africa Business Forum and special meetings of the ministerial level and the Asian-African leaders. That was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin Program. For feedback about the program, you can send us email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. You can also send a letter to PO Box 1157, Central Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Listener, coming up next, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is NRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesia's tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will invite you to Parang Wedang in Parang Tritis, Bantul, Yogyakarta. So stay tuned in NRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Parang Wedang Hot Springs is located in Parang Tritis, Bantul, Yogyakarta. It is the meeting point of two plates that resulted in hot water springs. Water from Parang Wedang Springs is hot with high chemical concentration, but strangely with no sulfuric content. Parang Wedang Hot Springs was built when Sri Sultan Hamengkubuwono VI became the King of Yogyakarta. Initially, these hot water springs appeared in a field belonging to a resident who tried to plant it with rice but was unsuccessful. Later, the appearance of the hot springs was reported to the government. It turned out there are three springs which each has a depth of about 10 meters. The name Parang Wedang is derived from the word parang in the Javanese language, which means rock, and wedang, which means hot water. Meanwhile, the hot water keeps coming out of Parang Wedang until today. The hot springs that gush out hot water of the earth cover an area of 1,140 square meters. The facilities available here are pools of hot water with the size of 9 times 8 meters. There are 6 bathrooms with hot water available and another 6 with fresh water only. Parang Wedang is known as a special bathing place since the water is said to have efficacy for skin problems, stroke and arthritis. No wonder this place is visited by many, especially by patients or sick people from various cities in Indonesia. The location of Parang Wedang Special Bath Pool is not far from Parang Tritis Beach, only a few meters from the entrance to the well-known tourist spot. From Yogyakarta, it is approximately 30 kilometers and can be reached within 1 hour by car. By the way, for a car, you need to pay an entrance fee 5,000 rupiahs and for motorcycle 2,000 rupiahs, while for visitors, each person is charged with 3,000 rupiahs. As for the bath and soak, each visitor just need to pay 4,000 rupiahs with no specified time limit. Parang Wedang baths open from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder with a special topic of Parang Wedang Bathing Place. If you are on vacation to Yogyakarta, take time to visit Parang Tritis and try the hot water in Parang Wedang. Until tomorrow with another interesting topic.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miss Leni, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the topic of the anniversary of the Indonesian Civil Defense. So stay tuned. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. The Civil Defense in Indonesia was set up during the War of Independence and was formed on the basis of the will of the people to participate actively in assisting the Indonesian military then. This organization was formally established on April 19, 1962, after Indonesia officially registered as a member of the International Civil Defense Organization on May 20, 1960. The day then is known as the anniversary of the Indonesian Civil Defense, or in Indonesian is popularly called Hansip. It was established in all parts of Indonesia for the purpose of always to be involved in humanitarian activities, administration, disaster relief and refugees, civil defense activities, as well as the implementation of public order and peace of society. In accordance with the Presidential Decree No. 55 of 1972, which states all the people on the basis of obligation and honor and in accordance with the individual's ability are to be included in all defense or security efforts together with the armed forces of the Republic of Indonesia. However, on September 1, 2014, President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono disbanded the Civil Defense or Hansip. Director General of Public Administration of the Ministry of Home Affairs, Mulyana, confirmed that the disbandment did not aim to eliminate the presence of Hansip or Civil Defense. It's because it is not relevant anymore to the task and presence of Hansip today. According to him, when the presidential decree was made, the presence of Hansip was meant as an effort of civil defense, to assist civil society in self-defense, and to anticipate security disorders such as war. For example, Hansip was assigned to evacuate people to safety. From the New Order era to the Reform era, Hansip has been intended to protect people with the duty of keeping the public and environmental safety in various social activities. He said since 2002, Hansip name has been changed from Hansip to Public Protection or Linmas in Indonesian abbreviation. The duty is more of social activities and environmental security. In the 2014 election, many regions used Linmas service for election security. However, people become Linmas members not as a main profession but only as a sideline job. Purwakarta Regency government, for example, gave a raise to the entire village apparatuses including the Linmas in the region. Purwakarta Region Deddy Mulyadi recently said a Linmas or Badega Lembur in local language earns 300,000 rupiah per month. The salary increase has been effective since January 2015. However, for the initial stage, the payment was made together in March. Starting April 2015, the payment will be done routinely every month. Deddy explained this increase is a form of government's respect for the dedication of the village apparatuses who have worked hard. He hoped that the salary increase could boost the performance of the village apparatuses for the better. Well, that was Miss Eleni over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta discussing about Hansip Day.
Tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia. Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. But before answering your letters and emails, we would like to inform you that as of January 2015, you can listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia via streaming in two channels, namely indonesia.rriworldservice.com:1983 for Indonesian, English, Mandarin, Japanese, Arabic, German, French, and Spanish services, and english.rriworldservice.com:1984 for Indonesia Today in English language. You can also listen via mobile application through your smartphone by downloading RRI Play for smartphone with Android or iOS. You will be able to listen to Voice of Indonesia broadcasts both on demand and also audio streaming, and also other programs of RRI local stations across Indonesia. So you can tune in our station everywhere, or you can also listen to Voice of Indonesia programs through TuneIn or RDO. Well, now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by MD Jahangir Alamanto in Bangladesh. He sent his email on April 12, 2015. In his email, he said that he has enjoyed Voice of Indonesia segment Miscellany and also Listener's Mailbag. He also likes Indonesian music very much. On this occasion, he also gives his best regards to his friends, Riaz Ahmad Khan and Sajad Sabir. Hello, Mr. Jahangir Alamanto. Thank you for your email. And we also thank you for your compliment. We hope your friends, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan and Sajad Sabir, are listening to our program now so they can hear your mention. As your request, we will send our QSL card to your address as soon as possible. But please be patient to wait for it, okay? Well, Mr. Jahangir Alamanto, we are looking forward to your next letter or email. And special for you and our regular listeners, we will play a song from Sigma Band entitled Sakiti Lagi or Another Hurt. Enjoy the song.
Berubah, kau yang sia-sia. pil lagi dan satu pil lagi dengan cintamu. Aku terus kau sakit pil lagi dan sakit pil lagi dengan cintamu. Aku terus kau sakit pil lagi dan sakit pil lagi dengan cintamu.
Listener, before we continue answering emails, we would like to introduce you to one of Indonesian bands, Sigma Band. Sigma Band was established on December 23, 2006 with personnel Yedo Kurniawan, Yoni Putra, Zulmi Erwinsyah, and Zain Wahyudianto. Sigma is an abbreviation of Senandung Islam Gapai Maghfirah Allah, or in English means Islamic song, which is the God's blessing. Nasheed team comes from the Nasheed team. Sigma Band comes from Dumai Riau. It tries to give musical alternative to all communities and to cool the heart of all listeners. Sigma consists of 5 young people who have different background, but they have commitment in Nasheed or Islamic religious songs. In 2010, Sigma had working contract with various sponsors as proof of their hard work to introduce Islamic art in Nasheed. And listener, that was a glimpse about one of Indonesian singers or bands, Sigma Band. And before we play a song by Sigma Band, we will reply an email from Azam Ali Somro in Pakistan. In his email, he told that he has very much enjoyed the information provided by Voice of Indonesia in our segment Indonesian Wonder. Hello, Mr. Azam Ali Somro. Thank you for your email dated April 10, 2015. And we hope someday you will come to Indonesia and you can witness by yourself the beauty of our nature. Mr. Azam Ali Somro, we are looking forward to your next letter or email. And special for you and also for our regular listeners, we will play a song from Sigma Band, Istikharah Cinta. Enjoy the song.
Bersaksi cinta di atas cinta dalam alunan tasbihku ini menerka hati yang tersembunyi berteman di malam sunyi penuh doa. Sajadah cinta tetapkan pilihan sebagai teman kekal abadi hingga akhir zaman. Satu pilihan,
Listener, now we continue to reply a letter from Peter Angie in Malaysia. He was listening to our broadcast through 9525 kHz on May the 3rd, 2014, and the SINPO was 454. Hello, Mr. Peter Angie. Thank you very much for your letter. How are you? Long time we haven't received your letter. Thank you for your appreciation and also your attention on our broadcast. We hope you always keep tuning in our radio, and please send your reception report of our broadcast. As your request, we have sent our QSL card to your home. Have you received it? Please inform us if you have received the QSL card. Thank you very much. Listener, in this segment, we also would like to say hello to our regular listeners in Pakistan. Hello, Amir Jamil, Abid Husin Sajid, Kalab Abbas, Riaz Ahmad Khan, and also our listener from Egypt, Mrs. Hanan Osman, and our listener from Bangladesh, Zahangir Alamanto, listener in China, Kevin Chow, and also our listener in the US, Idris and Lubna Budina. Thank you for being our regular listeners and our visitors of Voice of Indonesia Facebook fan page. Listener, before we end listeners' mailbag, we would like to give you information concerning our program. In 2015, English Service will still have network programs with several RRI local stations, such as with RRI Bukit Tinggi in West Sumatra every Monday, RRI Denpasar Bali on Tuesday, RRI Ternate in North Maluku, and RRI Bandung in West Java on Wednesdays, RRI Samarinda East Kalimantan on Thursday, and RRI Banjarmasin South Kalimantan every Friday. And we also have 1 hour program via internet, via our streaming on english.rriworldservice.com:1984. On Monday, we have Voice of the Young. On Tuesday, we have Know Our Music. On Wednesday, we have a talk program called The Forum. On Thursday, we have book and film review. On Thursday, we have Meet With. And on Friday, we have Sports World. On Saturday, we have Saturday Chats. And on Sunday, we have Indonesian Women, featuring Indonesian women with outstanding achievement. And listener, unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. And please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I'll repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id. info@voi.co.id or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. And don't forget to visit and also like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and also Voice of Indonesia RRI World Service. And you can also follow our Twitter @VoiIndonesia. I'm Ania Sana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.